Listen, we all have a crush on Christy Swanson. We've all fantasized about her. It's okay, it happens. But what happens when you find out that Christy Swanson is a real-life person? Well, you get Chris Hudson and you talk about it tonight on...
B! Movie!
No, quick takes! Quick takes.
Oh, quick takes! It's a quick take, folks!
Quick takes!
Is Christy Swanson a real person?
Well, that's what we're going to find out tonight. Chris, how you doing?
I'm all right, Paul, but you know, my friends call me Slugger.
Hi, I'm Randy Slugger. Friends call me Slugger. Will you be helping me to feel at home?
Oh, too true, too true. Well, I can't tell you how excited I am for the actual final installment of Quick Takes.
Oh,
you
yeah.
seem to think that the last one was the final one.
I just wanted to pretend this one never happened.
It is happening. All of it is about to happen. We watched a film called Dream Trap. But before we get into it, I want to let our listeners know tonight we are going to actually be announcing the very first movie that we're going to be reviewing on season 2 of B-Movie Mania.
And what movie is that, Paul?
Well, you got to stick around until the very... Even you, Chris, you have to stick around to the end to find out.
Fine. I'll stick around.
Okay. We watched a film called Dream Trap. It was released in 1990. And this film is pretty obscure. It's not on DVD. It's really tough to find. In fact, the only way that I know to watch it is on the YouTube version that you and I watched.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you how you found this. I mean, this movie does not even have a Wikipedia entry.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually wrote down a handful of questions that I wanted to ask you.
All right.
We're going to get to that a little later on, but I will answer that question for you when we get to those questions. Is that all right?
Fantastic. You're all about making me wait tonight, Paul, before you give up
exactly.
the goods. Kind of like Christy Swanson.
Right. Exactly. So what I had to do, believe it or not, to even get a halfway decent plot synopsis for this movie, I had to find a scan of the back of the box. And so I have a photo of the back of the box in front of me. And if you don't mind, I would just like to briefly read the plot description, and then we'll get into Dream Trap.
I really want to hear this.
Okay, here we go. Fantasy and comedy run wild when daydreams become the key to scholastic and sexual success at Hart University. Alvin Tingsley is not the typical college sophomore. He is highly intelligent, a social misfit, and totally infatuated with his beautiful fantasy dream girl. Alvin's wacky problems multiply when he meets Sue, the real-life look-alike of his daydreams. Their developing relationship takes on a hilarious predicament as Fantasy Sue leads Alvin astray each time he attempts to win real-life Sue's attention. This boisterous comedy, set against the backdrop of college life, proves that every fantasy has a catch.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. You know, the big catch with this movie is that it's not actually a comedy.
Oh, come on. This movie's funny as hell.
Okay, there were a few funny bits, but hilarious is going a little bit too far.
Well, okay, so this movie, to me, really reminded me of the type of stuff that you and I used to watch on USA Up All Night.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe if I had Rhonda Shear introducing the movie, it would have been a little better experience for me. I kind of missed that. I never watched the Gilbert Gottfried night.
No, hell no. Nobody did.
No.
But yeah, it's sort of that zany, goofy, late 80s, early 90s sort of college sex romp type of movie.
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, the boobs flow fast and freely in this one.
They do indeed.
Right from the start. I mean, and even like the... Alvin, the hero, the nerd, almost gets caught masturbating to his fantasy, his daydream, in the very first scene.
Be bad with me, Alvin.
Alvin! Alvin! Oh, come on, man, you promised me. No more of these stupid fantasies.
What? I was doing self-analysis, Randy.
Yeah. From what I just saw, Alvin, it looks like you were getting to the old self-help part.
Right off the bat, Alvin is our sort of our main character. I don't know if you'd call him a hero. He's a real nerdy type. You can tell because he's wearing glasses.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely the glasses. He's probably really handsome underneath, kind of your typical, like, jockey hunk actor type, you know, with washboard abs. But as far as this movie's concerned, he's got those glasses. He is ugly.
Nerd.
Yep.
Nerd alert.
Nerd. And that's exactly what this movie treats him like.
Well, Chris, since this is a quick take, you know, we're certainly not going to go plot by plot point here. We're going to breeze through a couple things. You know, honestly, I just wanted to get that description out of the way.
Yeah.
And then kind of turn it over to you, because the word on the street,
yeah,
is that you have about 8 pages of notes on this movie.
Oh, yeah. I did have 8 pages of notes on this movie. And I'm not going to say that a lot of them are just... I can read them all to you. Maybe we should do that as a special feature where I just read all my notes.
I say we just get into it. I assume that you did these in chronological order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude sitting on a couch. He's nervous about starting college. He has a problem, though. He has a sexy therapist. Now, this is before we know that he's actually daydreaming.
Right, so we see Christy Swanson for the first time as a very sexy therapist. And look, I just have to say it. She is smoking hot in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not as the real Christy Swanson until the... Because she's right. Nerdy, too, throughout most of the movie. And then she's kind of walking all sexy. And she only does it for one scene in the cafeteria. And then, nope, just never mentioned again.
She gave it a shot.
She totally did. But, you know, Paul, what I really want to talk about are the Hooter Hunters.
Oh, boy.
They made the movie for me. And I don't know if you want to get into it now or save that for a little bit. But they were by far the best thing about this movie.
Aha! Mission accomplished, Private. I've spotted the missiles. Let me see missiles. This one is truly blessed. Her cups runneth over. Let me see spilled cups.
What? Who are these kids? Checking out the girls? What is happening? Where did these kids come from? Why are they dressed as a cowboy and Indian to look up co-ed skirts?
These are, this is the B thread of the movie, if you will, our Hooter Hunters. And Chris, why don't you sort of describe who these guys are? Well, not guys,
yeah,
kids, really.
They're probably little, you know, what, 13, 14 years old, just clearly just entering puberty. They rule every scene they're in because they wear a different costume every time they're out. I think they were dressed as, like, construction workers, and they were dressed in camo in one moment. They were just as pirates. And they are all about the titties. Just looking at boobs, they're RSDA choice, lean and horny. And my personal favorite, look at those Goodyear blimps.
Whoa, look at those Goodyear blimps. Let me see the blimps.
Those are pretty good. I think my favorite may have been Womanhood in the Raw.
That's a good one.
Let me see Raw Womanhood.
Oh, God damn it.
So have we gotten to the point? Obviously, we're not going point by point here, but...
Oh, but this is where the villain is really introduced, the Dean. And he comes in, and he is a perv.
Yes. Dean Pulver, is it?
Yeah, something. Yeah, you know, I didn't write that down. I just referred to him as Dean.
Bit of a pervy guy.
What do you think, Miss Pojo?
Think?
That this semester is going to be long and hard.
Oh, I like that.
One thing I noticed about this movie is there are so many topless women in this, but there are really no swear words.
Oh.
I think there was the F-bomb one time, maybe, but that was it. There were no other swear words at all in this entire movie.
Interesting juxtaposition,
yeah,
I suppose.
I don't know what this movie was rated. I assume R.
Yeah, probably.
But they didn't want to cross the line into X, I assume.
Could have something to do with... I'm positive this film was shot for the early 90s direct-to-video market, so I wonder if it had something to do with that.
Could have been. Let's see. So we get more daydreams, and these daydreams get real and real. And you know what? I'm just going to, like, cut to the chase, like, the big payoff here.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. It turns out that Christy Swanson is also a daydreamer, but she had therapy, and learn to control the daydreams so she doesn't get carried away and she doesn't have them anymore. But Alvin, like a kind of a drug dealer, tries to get her hooked on daydreaming again. And there's a whole scene on a diving board where he's trying to get her to daydream again. Just take that first dream and it's great. You'll love it.
Not too many people can entirely remove themselves from any sort of reality. You ought to try it again sometime.
No, I don't think so. It got pretty intense.
Oh, but you see, that's the fun of it. I mean, you can go anywhere. You could be anybody. Let me talk you through one.
Alvin, yeah. No.
I can make your dreams come true for a fraction of a second.
Yeah, the diving board scene is pivotal because that's when he gets her into the whole daydreaming thing. And then it sort of takes on a life of its own for her, where she basically starts kind of fantasizing about Alvin as well. And so they're both sort of fantasizing about each other, sometimes even in the same room.
At some point in the, I think they're in the library and they share a daydream. Let me just set the scene here, Paul, kind of how it goes. So
please,
they're both in the library and they kind of fade into this daydream. They're in the woods, Paul. She, a simple peasant girl. He, a stoic woodcutter. They meet on the abandoned path to share their feelings and a kiss.
You okay?
Sometimes I feel so alone.
That's why I'm here.
And it's one of those strange things where it's like, okay, well, why don't they just, you know, go hook up? I mean, they're aware of each other at this point. They know that they exist. They're in the same room. So there's some strange stuff in this movie where there's some interesting concepts that are kind of executed in a strange but kind of enjoyable way. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. This movie really didn't win me over, Paul, so I hate to be a little down on it.
Well, hey, I picked you specifically for this quick take because I know that you were a fan of wacky, zany sex comedies from back in the day, so I thought this might be up your alley.
I think there were some problems with the script, and it just didn't grab me like I'd hoped it would. I mean, even the best thing about the movie, the kids, they didn't really pay off. They're at the end, they're just spying the boobs, and the dean, of course, is being a peeping Tom, and the kids bump into they're on a boat, and they bump into the dean's boat. It turns out that one of the kids was the son of the dean, and he's just like, go home. Oh, and don't tell your mother. And it's just, there was no real payoff for that.
I sort of expect sort of plot cul-de-sacs like that to happen in these types of movies, because a lot of it is just fluffy stuff to kind of make you laugh, you know?
I told you she'd turn into a healthy dividend.
Well, the bet's not over till you bop her.
I will.
One of the major plot points that we haven't touched on yet is the typical asshole jock character, Brad, is trying to get with Christy Swanson's character of Sue throughout the movie.
He's even got a bet with his friend. You know, he bets his friend $100 that he can get into Christy Swanson's pants.
Yeah. And so, of course, he's trying to do this throughout the movie, and that causes complications with the relationship between Alvin and Sue, but also provides us with some pretty good, some pretty funny stuff with Sue constantly just kind of like beating the shit out of Brad throughout the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. That was another bit that I really liked. Every time Brad is trying to hook up with Christy Swanson, she just beats the shit out of him. So over the course of this movie, he is more and more mangled. It starts with smashing his fingers in the door and ends with him in a wheelchair and a cast and like face bandages. And Christy just wheels him into the swimming pool at the end of the semester party.
To the point where, I mean, he can barely talk. He's beat up so bad. He's got all these casts on him. I thought it was a pretty good bit.
I have to say, I mean, really, kind of, there's not much else that I really liked except for the very end. Alvin's daydreaming about Christy Swanson. Christy Swanson is daydreaming about Alvin. And they end up both meeting in the daydream, but this time their imaginary doubles are in there. So you've got two Alvins and two Christy Swansons, and that could have made for a hell of a party.
Yes, it was pretty epic.
Alvin, what are you doing here?
I want an answer. Wait, what is going on and who is this?
Don't push the girl, Alvin. If she's not interested in the real you, then she's just not interested. Who is that? Is that how you see me?
And the movie kind of just ends.
Yeah. They,
Alvin and Sue basically end up together. You see them sort of walking along the beach in you know, kind of a sunset moment, I guess,
hand
right?
Hand in hand, yeah, yeah. But with a twist.
What's the twist, Chris?
Well, Alvin is walking with his hand in... Sue, was that her name? Christy Swanson. I'm just calling her Christy Swanson.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Alvin is holding Christy Swanson's hand, who's holding imaginary Alvin's hand, who's holding imaginary Christy Swanson's hand. Basically, it's their twosome becomes a foursome.
Right.
And then they just kind of disappear as they walk off.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird ending, but that's okay.
Never to be seen again until the sequel.
Right. Well, hopefully, one day.
No, no, no. You didn't see that there is a sequel, Paul.
What?
Well, Christy Swanson didn't come back for it, but there is apparently a made-for-TV movie called Bikini College, written and directed by the same guy, starring all the same... Everyone came back for it except Christy Swanson.
Okay, but is there any indication that it's a continuation of the same story, or is it just...
They're playing the same characters, so I can only assume, yeah. I couldn't find it. It's only on IMDb. That's all the information I found on it. But the same actors came back to play the same characters. Bunny's in it, Alvin, Brad, Alvin's roommates.
I had no idea.
So it makes me think that they really wanted to make a Dream Trap franchise.
Well, the Dream Trap is hard enough to find anywhere. Yeah. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to get your hands on the sequel.
Yeah, I looked and I saw some links to some pretty sketchy sites, but that I'm not going to click on. But yeah, I don't know if it's out there or what. But I'll see if I can find it for the marathon or something. That might be kind of fun.
Sure, that'd be great.
But I did also want to say that getting back to that Bikini College thing, that's the last credit on so many of the actors for the IMDb pages.
Oh,
it's like the last, like Alvin. I think even Alvin, Bikini College was the last thing he did.
Really?
Yeah. Although he did do some stunts on Cherry 2000, apparently, so.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty much about it. I'm skipping over, obviously, a lot of notes. Maybe I can read them all sometime if we want to do some off-season content. Oh, this is off-season content.
This is off-season content. I mentioned that I had a couple questions for you. Oh. Are you ready for those questions, Chris?
I am ready.
Okay, question number one. How catchy is that theme song?
Oh, God. Oh, damn it. You know what? I found myself humming that for about an hour after the movie.
Yeah. Paul, in case you haven't done it already, go ahead and put in a little snippet of the theme from Dream Trap.
I would say not since Fungicide has a theme song just taken a hold of my brain like this one has.
Yeah. Question number two. We touched on this a little bit, but how was this never on USA Up All Night?
You know, I don't know. I thought it had. I thought there was a list that you found. Someone said somewhere that it actually was on USA Up All Night.
Oh, okay, okay.
So maybe it was. I don't know.
That list that you're talking about, yeah. I didn't see it on there. But
yeah.
Maybe someone else knows that it was on there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I definitely don't remember this from USA Up All Night. In fact, when I saw that list, there were a lot of movies I didn't remember. I mainly just remember all the trauma stuff that they showed.
We're talking about a list that we were looking at earlier this week, so we'll go ahead and post a link to that so that if you guys want to check out more of these, you know, zany types of movies that we used to watch growing up, you can check out that list as well.
Oh, yeah.
Question number three, and you actually already asked me this, so it doesn't quite work, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes.
Don't you want to know how I found out about this movie?
Hey, Paul, how did you find out about this movie?
Chris, I'm so glad you asked. I actually used to work with a guy by the name of Larry LaFond, and he told me about this movie because back when he was living in Florida in the early 90s, or late 80s, actually, he was a background extra in this very film.
You have a personal
and he
connection.
Told me about it, yeah.
Wow.
So I actually sat down and chatted with Larry about his experience on Dream Trap, and we're going to play that interview right now.
Right now?
Right now. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Paul Brooks here from B Movie Mania, and I am sitting down right now with Mr. Larry LaFond. Larry, welcome to B Movie Mania.
Thanks, Paul Brooks.
So, you were in the film Dream Trap. You were an actor in Dream Trap.
Sort of, yes.
What do you mean, sort of?
I was sort of a featured extra.
Describe for us, if you would please, what exactly you did in the film.
As I recall, it was a while ago, I had to react to a laughing girl behind me in an auditorium. And then later, because we were supposed to be kids going through orientation for college, so I had to pretend to be so bored at orientation that I was playing tic-tac-toe on the back of the a bald guy's head.
Was that you were just in one scene, or?
Yes, one scene in the early, probably first act of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's within the first. You can spot yourself within the first maybe 5 minutes.
I've seen my scenes, but I've never seen the entire film.
What?
I don't know why.
Well, you should watch it because it's a delight. I'm really surprised to hear that. I know that was a while ago. So, can you walk me through the process about like how you found out about the movie and how you got involved with the movie?
Sure. So, I graduated high school in 1989, and I was living in Central Florida. And a friend of mine, I used to direct music videos and short films and stuff in high school. And so I used this one girl who was a friend of mine as a lead actress all the time. She wanted to be an actor. So she asked me one day that summer after we graduated high school, she's like, oh, there's this movie shooting in Orlando and they need extras. Do you want to go, you know, be an extra in a movie? I was like, well, sure. I'd never seen a real movie being shot. So we go to the University of Central Florida where the film was being shot. Thinking, you know, we're just going to be in some background, you know, whatever. I didn't know exactly what we were going to be doing, but I wanted to see how a movie was being shot. So right when we were there and we're, you know, checking in and everything, someone, one of the talent people asked me if I wanted to be, if I could come with her. And so before I know it, they're like directing me to do these specific things. Meanwhile, my friend who wanted to be an actor is like way back in the back of the audience or, you know, back of the auditorium. She never even got featured in the film. So somehow I ended up with it and not her.
What was the name of your character?
I don't think they gave me a name.
You never came up with a name yourself?
I never even thought about it. Scoffing guy?
And you scoff twice, don't you?
Oh, I do scoff twice because of a bad edit, in my opinion. So from different angles, or I scoff, they cut to someone else, they cut back to me, and then I scoff again. That day, I came to realize what this film was going to be about, or the tone of this film, that it was kind of an absurd teen comedy. Keep in mind, I went there that day not knowing anything about what I was getting into. So it was probably a bit of eye rolling going on my part, but you know, whatever. It was cool. Mm-hmm. It was a big movie, you know. Well, for Florida, it was a shot on 35 with, you know, real people, and I thought, wow, this is how it works. This is a real deal.
Did you know who Christy Swanson was?
I did not know.
I'm not aware of whether or not Christy Swanson was an established... She's the lead, obviously, but I don't know how much of a household name she was at that point.
She was probably as big of a household name as they could afford.
Now, this was in the late 80s. Some time has passed. Was that sort of the catalyst for your acting career? Did you go on to do other things within the business after Dream Trap?
Never acting.
No. Never acting?
No. I wanted to direct, so, you know, I ended up many years working in TV casting, and then, you know, eventually got to direct some television. But I directed some short films and stuff of my own, you know.
But would you say that Dreamcast played a significant role? I'm sorry. But would you say that Dream Trap played a significant role in you wanting to get more involved in the film industry?
Yeah, I mean, I already had the passion, but it definitely opened my eyes a bit about how real productions were run.
What do you think the legacy of Dream Trap is? Considering the fact that it's not on VHS, it's not on DVD.
It is on VHS. I have a VHS of it that I found on eBay about 4 or 5 years ago. And of course, I bought it just because of that. I think that was back in the day when companies were making films for direct-to-video purposes, and they were making money doing it. So I imagine that was their intention, this company. Maybe I think they probably would have loved a theatrical release or to become big, like a Porky's or something like that. But the very least, they were going to make their money off VHS or, VHS back then.
Right.
Or cable or whatever. Right. But there was a market for it, and now that's, it's a different game now, but...
Yeah. Do you think that you'll ever get around to watching all of Dream Trap?
I probably won't.
own it!
I can just get to my scene and then... Yeah, but I have a VHS, but I don't have a VHS machine anymore.
A VCR?
Yeah. Oh. I don't think I have one.
Larry LaFond, thank you for chatting with me about Dream Trap, and thank you for being my special guest on B-Movie Mania.
It's my pleasure. I hope all your fans go and check it out.
Huh. That was... That, you know what? Yeah. That was very insightful.
There you go. There's a little bit of behind-the-scenes insight into the making of Dream Trap.
That's a lot more than I found online.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the last question that I have for you, Chris, and this is the most important question. This is serious business right here.
I am all ears.
Did Ronald D. Moore, the showrunner of Battlestar Galactica, watch and then rip off Dream Trap?
You know, I definitely see the influence that Dream Trap had on Battlestar Galactica. I totally see it. And now that you mention it, it's fairly obvious. So I don't know how Ronald D. Moore could have not been influenced by this movie. But then again, he's a very successful artist, and the most successful artists hide their sources. I mean, they blatantly steal and rip off things all the time, but they hide it very well.
Well, this movie is hidden as hell.
It is. It is. Maybe because Ronald D. Moore tried his best to hide it.
Yeah, he's behind the entire thing. He bought all the DVDs so that you can't get the copies anymore.
Yeah, he's not letting anyone release it on Blu-ray.
One day, I genuinely hope, because I think this is the type of movie that would be primed for like a Blu-ray sort of special edition re-release where they redo the print and do some special features and things like that. I think people would eat this up.
Yeah, I think as long as they like package it with the sequel, with Bikini College, that's the one I'm really interested in.
Yes, yeah. Oh,
I want to see where they take this idea.
Yeah, a double feature would be great.
Well, I think the director is still pretty active.
Really?
And maybe he's in Los Angeles. I don't know. Paul, you should look him up.
I will. Holy cow, I didn't know that. Cool. Well, Chris, I still have some questions about this Battlestar thing. To me, I saw the similarities. I'm like, what is going on here? If you haven't seen Battlestar, first of all, go watch Battlestar.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's pretty dark, but really good.
There are a lot of similarities to some things going on here. I thought it might be fun, Chris. Our fellow B-movie maniac, not my personal favorite, maybe yours, I don't know.
Well, my favorite jumps around from...
Week to week.
Week to week. Day to day. Hour to hour, even. Really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jason Hulls. Also watched this movie last night. I told him he might enjoy it. I told him to check it out. So I thought it might be fun to get his take on this Battlestar thing because he's a really big fan of the show as well. So let's get him on the phone right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah. It's ringing.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Jay. Welcome to Quick Takes.
Hey, thanks.
Absolutely. So talking with Chris right now about this whole Battlestar Galactica issue and wanted to get your take on it.
Ronald D. Moore is a bad boy.
Yes.
He was sneaky. He saw that movie and he said, I know what I'm going to do with this.
I mean, you were watching
Six and Baltar.
You were watching this film last night and texted me almost immediately like, dude, this is just like a weird 80s version of Baltar and Six.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep, it's pretty obvious when you watch it. The similarities are there.
Well, does this in any way diminish Battlestar Galactica for you?
No, I don't think so. I like to think of this movie as just part of the canon.
Oh, that makes sense.
Wow.
Yeah, I think this is just another cycle, you know? This is what happened in the 80s. This is how the whole thing manifested itself. And, you know, we don't know where it goes from there.
Well, you know, we know that this has all happened before and will all happen again.
They sure don't explain very much in the movie, so...
Yeah. Chris says this has all happened before and this will all happen again.
So say we all.
Just like this podcast.
So say we all. All right, Jay, well, just wanted to get your quick take on that. Appreciate it very much.
Sure.
What are you up to tonight?
Well, I'm actually in the middle of the latest episode of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, boy. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll let you get back to that. Thanks for chatting, and we'll see you for season two.
Catch you later, Paul and Chris.
See ya.
So, speaking of season two, do we get to find out what the next movie is?
We sure do, Chris, but first, it's ratings time.
Rating time!
All right, well, you have alluded, Chris, that you weren't 100% sold on this movie, so why don't you give me one out of 100 Hooter Hunters? What do you give Dream Trap?
Wow, you know, I talking about this really helped me focus on the stuff I did like about this movie. And kind of forget about the bad. I mean, I still don't think it was a great movie. I don't even think it was a good movie. It was just kind of there for me for the most part. But there were some moments that genuinely made me laugh. And I really enjoyed, you know, like we've talked about, focusing on that stuff in this episode. I'm going to give it, you know, Hooter Hunters always come in pairs. So I'm going to give it 56 Hooter Hunters.
56?
Yeah. Math is hard. I can't figure out how many pairs that is, but 56.
It's a lot of pairs.
That is a lot of pairs of Hooter Hunters.
That's a lot of missiles right there.
Sure. It sure is. Let me see the missiles.
All right, very nice. Well, I have to echo the majority of your sentiments. I do think that there was a lot of, about this movie that was really fun and yeah, you kind of go into this sort of thing knowing that, well, you went in blind, so you weren't, you probably weren't blind. Quite sure what to expect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no idea what was going to happen. Yeah. This.
But I had a pretty good idea of what I was getting myself into. So if there's ever a movie that I'm going to do this with, I think this would be the most appropriate one to give it 69 Hooter Hunters.
Wow. Pretty good. Pretty good score. Very appropriate.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. I'm so glad we finally got to do this quick take for Dream Trap. Thank you for being my guest on this show.
Are we sure this is the last one, then?
Unless we somehow get new members suddenly, this is the last one for our current off-season.
Oh, so are we recruiting, then?
We are not recruiting. Do not email us wanting to do your own quick take. I mean, you can, but it's not going to be on B-Movie Mania.
Sorry, folks. I tried.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's been good.
Well, Chris, I think it's about that time. Are you ready to find out?
I cannot wait to find out what we're watching next.
Let's bring in Jay and Mike. They're not here, but this is something that we recorded together previously. And right now, B-Movie Maniacs, you're about to find out what's going to be episode one of season two of B-Movie Mania.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
In 1986, science fiction comedy needed a star. And that star was Jim Varney. Know what I mean? John R. Cherry III wrote, directed Jim Varney. We became to know Ernest in what is known as Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the Gloom Beam.
Wait, is that your Ernest? Are you doing Ernest right now?
Wait, is that real bad?
He's doing Vern.
It looks insane.
I'm so excited.
There's a version of it on YouTube, but there's also it's on Amazon streaming now too. So fucking check it out. Watch it before we fucking talk about it, because this thing is gonna be. crazy, if you know what I mean.
Know what I mean, Vern?
Know what I mean, Vern?
Ew.
Ew.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Are we done? Are we still... Wait, is this still for the podcast?
No, we can just end on your cackle.
Wait. What if I want to say... Bye-bye. Wait, Paul, leave that in.
Paul, cut this out, too.
Paul, leave this in.
Paul, cut this out.
Paul.
Cut it out, Paul.
You know what I mean, Paul? You know what I mean?